My God, have me thinking. And boy, I tell you.
Jesus.
It seems like don't nobody want to bring nothing to the altar tonight. Man, it got me thinking. I was over there just meditating on the word of this. You know, but he already tells us to cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for us. But we want to walk around and we be buried down and all these type of things, but God wants us to bring it to the altar. I'm reminded of every time they went, they always wanted to build an altar. If you notice, this pulpit is in the center of the room.
Yes, sir.
And they always built an altar because they understood that they needed to bring some things to God as they was going through our life. An altar was always established wherever they go. Read your Bible and you'll find out that they was always building an altar. An altar has a purpose. And a lot of times when we go through the things of life, the struggles of life, we want to carry it around, but you can bring it to the altar and give it up to God. God specializes in taking care of things that we bring to the altar. So I thank God for that beautiful selection by the praise and worship team. As if they recorded it themselves. It sounds just like the record, don't it? That's it. Sound good. But what I want to talk to you this morning about, the abundant life. I want to talk about how many people want to live life more abundantly.
Amen. Yes.
But there are some certain things that we have to do in order to tap into that abundant life. Because we understand, put a scripture up there, John 10 and 10. And then we'll go, and I got some scriptures I want to share with you, and we'll break down there. But there's some things that you must do, there's some things that you must yield, thank you, Dick. There's some things that you must yield to in order to be able to experience the abundant life. We want to share that thing with you. The abundant life. It says that the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus Christ himself says, I am come that they may have life and that they may have life and have it more abundantly. It's one thing to be able to come and sacrifice his life for us, that he came, that he sent himself. He sent his only begotten son that we may be reconciled back to him. And that's the life part. Because we were separated from God because of the things that happened in the garden.
Yes, sir.
And so he had to be sent back down here so that we can be reconciled back to the Father. In other words, to give us life.
Yes, sir.
We was dead in trespasses. We had a sin nature. There are some things that separate us from God. And we understand that the things that separate us from God is sin. We understand, but Jesus said that in the midst of all of this, the devil is on a mission to do these three things to you, that he comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. And I know that everybody can attest to this in the room, that he stole some things from you, that he's destroyed some things in you, that he's killed some things in you that you're still recovering from because of the things, the decisions that we've made in our lives. And we listen to what the enemy says to us, and we yield to what the enemy presents to us. He makes a presentation, and he comes in for the kill. He comes in to steal everything. He comes in to steal your relationship. He comes in to steal your health. He comes in to kill your relationship. He comes in to destroy your relationship. All these different things that the enemy comes to do to us individually and then corporately together. Because we're supposed to have each other's back, right? The kingdom of God. We come together in the unity of the faith that we might be entire, wanting nothing. And so when you understand that, what the enemy, last week we talked about the things that we was fighting against, that we come into the knowledge of the very things that we're fighting up against. So we broke that thing down in Ephesians 6 and 12, and we understood what we were fighting up against.
Yes, sir.
That we don't supposed to be wrestling against flesh and blood, because the enemy, he's already out to kill you. He's already out to destroy you. He's already out to steal from you. And so he doesn't need your help to do that, because that's his mission. That's his plan, to take as many people as he possibly can, to take them to hell with him. Because hell wasn't created for us, but it was created for the enemy and those third of the angels that he persuaded to go with him. God doesn't put us in hell. We put ourselves there.
That's right.
And so we understand. But he said, I came to give you life. In other words, I want to resurrect you. I want to bring you back to life, because you was walking in death. And we understand that the wages of sin is death. And so we needed a savior. We needed a shedding of the blood for the remission of sins to put us back in right standing with God. The relationship was broken, and we understand that the enemy was unleashed, and he's been terrorizing the earth all of this time. He's an old devil. He's a conniving devil. And we want to paint him up and make him look red and put on these horns on him. But the devil can say that he was so beautiful. And that's why he can present things to you that it is so good. That's why it's good to you. That's why getting high is good to you. That's why drinking is good to you. See, because the devil, he'll dress it up and make it look pretty, because he wants to use these three strategies to kill you, to destroy you, to steal from you. And now, you don't want all that come in. But he makes things look so pretty. He makes it look, and it's like you just can't resist it. It's just insatiable. I got to have it. It's so good, like your perfect candy bar, like your favorite candy bar, like your favorite song that you listen to, or your favorite cologne you put on. Ain't nobody saying nothing to me. But what I'm saying is, he makes it sound so pretty. He makes it look so pretty. And there we go. We'll reach in. And we'll get the very thing that God has forbidden. Oh man, this is a good thing. So how do I live this abundant life? In that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Right? Let's look at Romans 6. Let's support this text. Romans 6. Verse 10 through 13 is what I want to read before we get into some more supporting scriptures to talk about this abundant life, that there's some things that we must do in order to be able to experience the abundant life. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to stop just right there for a minute, because when we started out with John 10:10, he said that I came that you may have life, right? So he died for us that we may have life, and then he said, and life more abundantly. See, because there's some living after getting saved. You know, people, you know, we talk about, man, you know, everything's supposed to be peaches and cream and all that when you get saved, that you're not going to go through no issues, no problems and circumstances and dilemmas. But that's a lie. But the abundant life is a pressing life. You have to press into the abundant life. And while you're pressing into the abundant life, there are some things that's going to come and try to get you off track from living the abundant life. And we have an enemy, an old thousand and thousand upon thousand year old devil that's so subtle, he's so slick, he's so cunning, he's so manipulative, that he'll present things, because you know he was a beautiful angel, he was one of the most beautiful angels. And you know how he uses music to get through us, that he could sing, but he'll sing you off their seat. And that's what people want. They want to be sung off their seat. They want to be entertained. And that devil open up his mouth and he'll hit those octaves and you'll be fascinated with his voice. And, see, you got devils that come up here. And when they come on, I want to hear such and such sing. Y'all ever requested on the request line? Tell what's the name of singing that song. Tell what's the name of singing that song. And you know he ain't right. And the devil, seen that hook? How many people have seen that move? Man, my wife was over there crying. I had a lump in my throat. But you know how we get so tough.
Boy, yeah.
We hard.
We hard.
Yeah.
I'm tough, you know. Right. You know how we get. We won't let no walls fall down today because we so hard and all that stuff. Yeah. And folks done told us this stuff. We don't supposed to cry, but the devil is alive. Yeah. You ought to let them tears flow. You been stuck in pain and stuck. He been trying to steal your emotions all the time. And you need to just cry. Just let it out. There's some things you've been shut up on all these years. You ought to just start crying. Just let it all flow out. But we was looking at that movie, and this man, I was telling my wife this morning, I said, man, you know, this man had displaced anger because his marriage was jacked up. And every time he went through an argument with his wife, he always went in there and beat on the child. And he messed that boy up, and the boy had a guilt. And he could sing, but he couldn't really, and when the people was actually telling them the truth. And me and my wife was looking at it, and sometimes, you know, you think, man, why come he didn't make it that first time? See, but God blocked that thing because if he would have made it the first time, he would have never been able to go back and get forgiveness from his dad. Oh, man. And see, in the midst of that, while he was gone on his journey and chasing his dream, his daddy was getting right with God. He didn't know how to do it, but when he came back, he was a changed man. And his son was only looking at the things that his daddy had did to him, but God was working on his redemptive plan, because his redemptive plan is always to get us back to the Father.
Yes, always.
But the devil was trying to steal, he was trying to kill, and he was trying to destroy the relationship.
Yeah.
And God, what God did was he intervened, and he didn't allow him one song. Somebody said one song.
One song.
I can only imagine. He wrote that song because of the redemptive plan that God put in place to save his dad. He said, if God can save a devil like this, this man beat me up, he whooped me. He said, Daddy, what was wrong? What did I do to you? You beat me, and I couldn't even move, but I laid there in pain. And his daddy wanted to know about the redemptive plan of God. He said, I don't understand. He said, rub it up, Doug. Thanks for the bruise. Before they started eating, he said, I want to say grace. Well, his son was looking like that. What's going on? And you remember, even before after his son left, he liked to fix dinner for his son. He really was a good father, but he was abusive.
Yeah.
And he didn't know how to love, and he had so much anger because of the things that didn't happen in his life, because he was good in football and stuff. Right? And he was getting ready to leave, and he slapped that boy upside the head with that plate with scrambled eggs and bacon. Y'all gonna look at the food. I ain't gonna tell you, I don't like about 10 people. My wife, and this happened. Don't ask me what happened. You know, you got people that be sitting in the movie, they tell you everything. They be the one I already saw, but they won't let you enjoy it. Who be doing that? Y'all stop it. But through God intervening and helping them, because he had stole so much, he had killed so much in their relationship, he had destroyed so much in their relationship. If he would have made it when he was singing the song when all those producers came and they was telling him, you're not ready. But he was holding on to some pain.
Yeah.
He was holding on to some unforgiving. See, you're not going to ever be able to experience the abundant life unless you have forgiveness in your heart. Unless you yield to the things that are required of you to be able to live the abundant life.
Yes.
So, once he did that, and he got released, and his father got saved, and he went on to heaven. He was able to pen that song, I Can Only Imagine.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And not only did that song is popular even today, but they have 21 number one hits, Mercy Me. And they still together. And that same little girl that he went to camp with, he married her. God is good. Somebody say God is good.
God is good.
And so when you think about this, it says, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. He came alive unto God through Jesus Christ, even when he didn't understand. See, a lot of times when we don't understand what God is saying to us, we have a tendency to give up.
Yeah.
That's why it's important to fellowship with one another, because it's somebody that knows.
knows a little bit more than you.
Yes.
And so now I can give you the information and I can disciple you to get a clear understanding. That doesn't mean you stop and wait on somebody to spoon feed you, but
right.
continue to study to show yourself.
Yes, right.
Yes.
But he came alive unto the Lord.
Christ Jesus our Lord.
It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in the lust thereof. That last verse. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto God, but unto sin. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Come up here and tell you. Me, stand up here. She's going to show. I want to give an illustration. Turn that around. I'll tell you when we're going to start doing. I was talking to them in Bible studies. We didn't have Bible studies last week. But I was talking to them. Can I give this example? I was talking to them about a person that goes in the store and steals. And then they come to us. We save and stuff. But we still got some issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's
my
help.
I'm on somebody. Help. We still got issues and stuff. Can we keep it 100 there? I know it's not 100 that will keep it 100, but can we at least try to get a bag? See, and we don't supposed to do that because what we're doing is we're yielding our members to unrighteousness.
Uh-huh.
Because the way they got it wasn't right.
Right.
And the more that you put in your order and tell them, go there and give me 5 pair of jeans because you get school supplies. You know, school get rid of that.
Well,
I go back to work in exactly a month from now because I got to go back to work on the 8th of August. The school start on the 15th. But Booster's going to be coming around trying to make a profit. See how the devil do it? He make you look pretty, don't he?
Yeah.
And, you know, we operate on the black market half, you know, even the food sales and all.
Yeah.
But we yield our members to unrighteousness.
Right.
Because what you're doing is, the more that you buy, the more that you're sending them out in the store.
Yeah.
And, you're yielding your members to unrighteousness, and so now you're promoting stealing.
Yeah.
Y'all get that? So that's in actuality, that's yielding your members to unrighteousness. You get in the car and you going over here because you already yielding your members to unrighteousness, and you go pick up the brother and he's trying to do better, but the sister, the one that you fooling with, she got a sister and she look good too, but won't you ride with me over here and you try to put stuff in history, ain't nobody going to say it to me today. But then you putting him on the system. Man, I'm just telling you what she told me. She told me to bring you with me, man. But you mad. See, we got to learn how. It says, neither yield your members as instruments of. I'm talking about any part of you. Your mind. Your actions. Your words. See, these are instruments. It's a part of you. And so you yield your members to your instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. See, that man that was on the mountain, if you can only imagine, see, he was yielding his members to unrighteousness because he was beaten on the mama. And see, the mama left. See, when I start thinking about this movie, I like to look at stuff. And I was thinking the mama left because she knew that it was between them two. But listen though. The mama left, but look at this. Because she said, if I leave, he'll quit beating on his boy. Because he beat on the boy because of me. Right? So, when you think about it, it says, as those that are alive. But he came alive from the dead because he was dead in his sins and his trespasses. And your members as instruments of unrighteousness. So, we yield to what? So, even if, I wish I could get a line of people, just a few people, we're going to do an illustration. This is going to be good. That's, yeah, get in, yeah.
Yeah, get you another one. Get another one. Anybody that wants to participate, we got enough cars in them. Get in there, Steve.
So you need to go to Austin.
Don't play the ad if one of these are you. Just put it on the Austin.
That's why I'm gonna put it there.
See, we understand that a yield sign, when we come to a yield sign, and when we don't stop at a yield sign, we can get in what?
Trouble
or wreck. Let's use traffic as an example. So when I yield, if I see something on these yield signs, I'm going to yield until I get the right car in order for me to go to the right. So when you see a sign up here, okay, you're coming up to the yield sign. When you come up to where it say is, this is the yield. You yield it. And you're going to have to yield to righteousness. Now, when you see something that ain't right, you better not keep going. Wait till you get the one that you're supposed to yield to and then go to the right. Y'all got it? That's the demonstration. Okay, Tasha. Yield to. She gone. Oh, man, hold up. Backbite. Adultery. Discord. He waiting. He saying, hold up. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to yield because I'm not going to yield my members to that. I'm going to wait to something that I need to yield to. So I'm not going to yield to that. So now I'm going to wait. Oh, man, he gone. That's goodness. Oh, hold up. What was this? That was for your dad?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead and tell him. Oh, man. Look at that.
Impurity.
Fornication. You know that's without being married, right?
Yeah.
Don't nobody raise their hand here. Y'all better not raise y'all hand. Okay. Doing that stuff and y'all ain't even married. See, when you do that, you yielding to unrighteousness. Because in order for us to live the abundant life, we have to learn how to yield to the things that God requires us.
Yeah.
This gonna help somebody.
Yeah.
And I know it's hard because the devil makes it look, oh, he cute. Ooh, look how he got a fresh haircut. I ain't trying to hear all that. He got tough. Wait till y'all get married and save yourself for him if that's the one for you. And you don't supposed to find him. He's supposed to find you. Because the Bible says, whosoever finds a right finds a good thing and obtains favor with the Lord. We got faith, we got to have that ain't the favor of God, though.
Yeah.
You got to have because you got a job.
Right.
You got a car because you got a job. That don't have nothing to do with the favor of God. So we can basically get all the things that we want if we just go get a job.
Right.
But I'm talking about abiding in God.
Yes.
I'm talking about having life more abundantly.
Yes.
He's not yielding to that. Go ahead. Oh, he took off. Don't say nothing, Tamika. I know that ain't you, Tamika, right? All that get back. No, not you, Tamika. Not strife, not parallel, piles of stuff going on. Got separation slip. Not jealous. Ooh, that she thinks she's up because of her. Not Tamika. Y'all don't raise your hand. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Oh, she took off. See, God is so long suffering. Is he long suffering? He's so patient with us that every morning when he gets up, he gives us an opportunity, right, to experience his mercy. Because the Bible declares in Lamentations 3, I believe 22, 21 through 22, somewhere up there, 22, 23, it talks about his mercies being new every morning. God don't give you nothing left over. See, man, we serve this God so good. Somebody say God is good. What's the next one? Oh my God. Not Miss Allen, she's not gonna do it. Drunkenness. See, cause when you full of that drink, it lets your inhibitions down.
Yes.
Inhibitions is your guards.
Yeah.
And we make decisions that's not in God. You can't be alive in God, you always tilt. You always drunk. You running over the pole, always got the car in the shot. You getting full of that drink and cussing both guys and going to do it and getting in bar fights and all that. You can't do that. That's what God said. She moving. She going to the right.
All right.
Hold on, Shaka. That's not Shaka. Y'all know he's just as happy. Y'all quit pitting. Pastor Javier, dog, y'all don't do that. Y'all know this is an illustration.
Yeah.
Let me clarify this, because sometimes we got to break stuff down so we can get a clear understanding. Causing division in the church. See, we got the church, and I'm gonna be honest with you. The church is not destroyed from the outside, but it's destroyed from the inside. Because you have divisions in the church where you got little pockets and sects in the church. See, it takes unity in the church. It takes one-mindedness. It takes togetherness. It takes love for one another in order for us to be able to be productive wherever we are. That we love on one another. We're not dividing one another. We're not talking behind each other. We're not doing nothing. We don't cause the business. That's, yield your members to this. If somebody come up to you and present this to you, you better don't yield to that. In other words, don't even put no 2 cents on it. But that ain't shocking. She waiting on something. Oh, she waiting on peace. Quit, Sister Ball. Sorcery is witchcraft and stuff. Y'all know rebellion is witchcraft, right?
It's worse.
Y'all just saw real y'all about. I ain't doing nothing what they say. I don't care know what they say.
Yeah.
That's witchcraft.
Yeah.
That's sorcery.
Uh-huh.
I ain't with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm not
that, we're not going to yield our members to that. Oh! Joy! Over in the Holy Ghost.
Joy, joy.
I doubt you. What is that today?
Yeah,
I'm already at work. I work 10 miles from home, but I'll turn around and go get this out of let me go get my phone. I forgot my phone. Be lose an hour on your check and drive 10 miles back to go get your phone. Because our phones have become our idols. Okay, if you don't think a phone is an idol, go when y'all leave here. When y'all leave here, I know y'all can go spend some money. Go to the restaurant and look around. Oh, just drive to the stop sign. Go up to the stop right. Go to the school. Go wherever, and everybody got their idol in their phone, and they can pull up everything that they want, everything that says they got their phone, they got pornography on it. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And YouTube and stuff, they looking at it all around, and they coming in like they, and up there sitting there like they're a sheep. Knowing they're a wolf. I doubt you. iPads. Your car could be your idol. Get all kind of, we can name all kind of, money can be an idol. All kind of stuff can be an idol. Right? People can be an idol. Oh, Sister Marvin. Praise God. Is that the last one? Steve, you missed that. Praise God. He's trying to put you on the altar, Steve.
Put him on the altar of sacrifice.
Praise God. Thank you, Natasha. Thank you for that demonstration. But do y'all get that?
Yeah.
Is that okay? Is that?
Yes,
Jay, go to the scripture. I want to take me to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Verse 1-4. Because we want to be able to yield to righteousness and not unrighteousness. In order to live the abundant life, we have to know what to yield to. And so when you think about Colossians 3, 1 through 8, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. In order for us to live the abundant life, how do we get to that abundant life? It's according to what we yield to. It's according to our affections, what we set our minds on, our actions. You're not going to ever be able to experience the abundant life of God, because first he sent his only begotten son. If you notice that, if you then be risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth. So that tells me that the people that don't seek those things that's above, they really haven't really fully gave themselves over to Christ. You're going to either be saved or not.
Right.
And once you get saved, you're going to have to switch up some things. You're going to have to get rid of some things. You're going to have to say no to some things. And when people come and present those things to you that you know is not of God, you can't yield to that. You can't even give room for that. You can't give the devil any time of the day to say, man, I'm going to entertain that. Because once you start putting your two cents in on that and start yielding to unrighteousness, you're going to continue to do it. And then when things don't happen, since God's judgment is not expedient, then we continue to go and our conscience gets seared. It gets to the point to where we're giving over to a reprobated mind because we don't think God is doing anything.
Right.
And so we think we done. See, the church done got comfortable in sin.
Yes.
And the very thing that we don't supposed to be. See, that's why we can't live the abundant life. So we deceive ourselves and think that we are right when we know we're not all right because we're still yielding to things that we know that we don't supposed to be yielding to. How can I live the abundant life that God said I came to give you? At first, I came to reconcile you back. He said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. I want your life to be better than what it was. Because you was on drugs, you was on alcohol, you was promiscuous, you was making mistake after mistake, you was unstable, you couldn't do anything because you was yielding to the wrong thing. And in order for you to live the abundant life, you got to set your affections on the things above. And not on the things that, well, what you say, Pastor, I got to study the Bible 24/7. No, that's what I'm saying. Man, I don't have so much fun being saved.
Yes.
I don't have to have nothing to make me feel good, to enjoy, to laugh. And I don't have to smoke on nothing to make me feel. I don't have to take no pills to make me feel accepted and all that thing to give me boldness and all that. I don't have to do none of these things. Yeah. I don't have to mistreat somebody to feel important and stuff like that. That I look at myself more above somebody else instead of condescending to me in a lower state. We got to read our Bible. And not only read it, but do what it tells us to do. So it says, don't yield your members to unrighteousness. So when they bring you them clothes during?
Before school starts.
Say, baby, you know what? Let me tell you something. God has so much more for you. Now that you're in retail and you're in retail in the wrong way, he said, maybe God is giving you a vision to open up your retail store
right?
To where you, why don't you do some drop shipping? Why don't you open up a drop shipping business? You ain't got to have no business. All you got to do is set it up and create your website and then have people and then promote your website and have people to go on there to buy your sandals and shoes and necklaces and hair or whatever you want to do. And that way when they put their order in, they can just go to your website and then you contact the people. You like the middleman and the owner. And you cut out the middleman because you both of them. You're the owner and the middleman. And then you go to the supplier and you put the order in and have to ship it to them. Ain't nobody going. That ain't no good idea.
Yeah.
They've been doing it. People still doing it right today. Instead of you going in the store, getting caught, that's one problem. Then you go there and get another. Then now your time is going up. Now you're getting habitual. So we used to carry 5 to 10. Now since you done got caught once before, now it's 2 to 20. Then you get caught again. Now they starting out with 25. Ain't nobody gonna say that. So now everything is being enhanced for something that's a misdemeanor,
right?
Uh-huh. Right? Or something that might be a state jail felony. But because you keep on yielding your members to it, now you're increasing your punishment range.
Right, yeah.
And now where you're supposed to be just getting 5 years, now they're giving you 20.
Yeah.
Baby, don't go in the store no more. Don't come by here no more because I'm not gonna buy no more of that stolen stuff. Because I read in my Bible in Romans 6 and 13, it told me don't yield my members to unrighteousness. And baby, I'll be wrong for to being a believer of God and to care enough about you and to love you like Christ loved me. That I don't want you going in the store. I don't want you going to Walmart. I don't want you going to the mall or any other store that sell product and you get caught. And so you keep doing it because you can get out of jail easy because the bond ain't that high.
Right now.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to yield my members to that. When somebody start coming and whispering in my ear and gossiping about such and such, I'm not going to listen to that. I don't want you coming dumping that stuff on me. I'm not going to yield my members to that. I'm not, when they start calling me on my phone or texting me and inboxing me, I'm not going to yield to that. I'm just going to hit that delete button because I don't even want, there's no explanation. Don't you know, it was a lady tried to set me up like that. Supposed to be in the church. This is a true story. Right? Somebody had the sick on me to make it think that I was going to entertain what she was saying, but she inboxed me, tell me how you doing. Ain't never spoke to me. Ain't never done seen me at church functions and stuff like that. Friend requests me, okay, yo, okay, because everybody that's friends ain't really friends.
Right.
You know how Facebook is.
Right.
So all of a sudden things are transpired, you're gonna hit me in my inbox telling me how you doing.
Yeah.
I clicked that delete button. And I don't know, some kind of way I guess she went around the back door. I was only being nice. Like, you know what I mean? I never responded. The way that I responded was, get you off my friend, you're not with my follower, you deleted,
right,
and all that. That's done deal. You friends, because you can look at me, and all I'm doing is sharing scriptures and inspirational stuff. You don't never see me on Facebook talking that nonsense.
Yeah.
If you see me put something on there, it's something to promote the kingdom of God. Or put something at a job opening or something like that. You don't see me on there with that nonsense, because I use it in the right way. I give my members to righteousness. I'm trying to get you saved. I'm trying to tell you what thus says the Lord.
Yes.
Not no going out in inbox and messenger and all that talking about, how you doing? Look, how you doing? Think. But look. See, I'm not going to yield my members to unrighteousness. So now, if I go back and forth with you and like I'm player, thank God for delivery. And now I'm talking with you secretly and saying stuff to you, and now you going to go search. See, look at it. He's supposed to be a pastor. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. But your pastor not going for that. I wish I was hit that sock like Homie the Clown and hit over the head with a powder sock and make that powder go everywhere and say, Homie, don't play that. If you then be risen, because I'm risen, and the more that I abide in Christ, the more that I learn to say, you know what, I'm not going to yield my members to this nonsense.
Right.
I'm not going to get caught up with that. And people coming to me with that nonsense, that's why I don't be knowing that. Because you coming to me with nonsense, and I be like, no, man, let's pray about it. I lived that in the boy right there as well. I mean, I know he got some issues. We all got issues.
Yeah.
You remember when you had some issues? I'm talking about church folks. Supposed to be saved. It's supposed to be advancing the kingdom. But you indulging in the things that you don't even supposed to be yielding your members to, because you're supposed to be standing upright and representing the kingdom as an ambassador and saying, you know what, my brother? Let's not do that. Let's not slander this person. But let's get together and pray for them and lift them up so they can be changed, so they can be delivered. So, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. So now I'm setting my affections on the things above. I'm setting on my affections on the things that Christ require me, because what I want to do, I want to live the abundant life, because I've already been saved. I got saved, now I got life. I got saved, I got life now. So what comes after me getting saved? Do I just sit around and be like, oh, I got saved, so I'm good. Okay, I got saved, so I can keep on doing what I was doing before I got saved. No, God forbid. Since His grace abounds, does that mean that we continue to sin? The Bible says God forbid. So now that I've been saved, now I set my things on my affections on the things above, not on the things that I was still doing. See, that's what it's talking about. It says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Get your, so I can send some things to God. So I can put some things on the altar. So I can make some requests. So He can answer my prayers. But if I continue to do those things that He says right here, set your affections on the things above, not on the things of the earth. If I continue with the things of the earth, I'm not going to live no abundant life. See, but people deceive themselves. God will not be mocked. Whatever you sow in the flesh, you shall reap in the flesh.
Yes, sir.
They mean to me. What do you mean? and talking about it. You talk about everybody. But why can't you be talking about it? You talking about folk? They stole my favorite big wheel. You stole somebody big wheel. They still tripping behind stuff that happened in 1989 when I stole her boyfriend. But you didn't forgive your uncle what he did. But now somebody won't forgive you. They don't even speak. Oh, you didn't speak. So you yield your members to unrighteousness, but we don't send out our affections on the things of earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So now that I'm in Christ now. So when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Because I don't know who want to go to heaven, raise your hand. Man, I tell you. So it is one thing to have eternal life by faith. It is quite another thing to have abundant life by faith. See, God, I want this abundant life. I by faith, I already done got saved. By faith, I confessed it. I believe it. And now by faith, I want to live the abundant life. So God, what do I do? Well, there are some things that I yield to, some things I don't. In order to live the abundant life. It is one thing for you to be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. We almost do it. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. It's one thing for you to be made the righteousness of God in him. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We were made the righteousness of God, so by us being made the righteousness of God, we have access to the abundant life. He was made sin for us to give us that life, that he sent his only begotten son. He said, now I'm going to send my only begotten son to reconcile y'all back, because y'all was dead and it was dead in sins and trespasses. He said, now I want to give you a new life. I want to give you a new life. And the only way you're going to be able to get this new life is that if you go through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Can't nobody get to the Father except they go through him. So now that I've been given access to life, now that I have life, I've been made the righteousness of him. Now I have access to the abundant life. And now that I have access to the abundant life, it's a choice whether I yield to certain things or not. So, it's one thing for you to be made the righteousness of God. It is another thing for you to realize his righteous life is in you. Let's look at the scripture. 1 John 3 and 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. It's not about our righteousness, people of God. We was made righteousness because of Jesus Christ. And now that we've been made righteous, it's not your righteousness, because our righteousness is like what? It's his righteousness. So now that I'm abiding in his righteousness, I have access to this abundant life, because he came to give us life, because we got saved, and life more abundant. We've been made righteousness because of him. And everything that we walk in is because of his righteousness. Now we're in him. We're hid in him. Because we're the righteousness of God. Not our own righteousness. Not the way we see things ourselves. Because there is a way that seems righteous unto man, but the end thereof is death, because they're not setting their faces on the thing. They're not abiding and hiding in him. Because he's the one that's leading us. He's the one that when we get to that place where the enemy tries to present stuff to us that looks so beautiful and that looks pretty. Because the broad road is real broad to unrighteousness. But the narrow road through there we find. Right? So when you think about that, it's one thing for you to be made the righteousness of God, but it's quite another thing to realize his righteousness life is in you. We've been made right because of Christ.
Right? He gives us access to the abundant life. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, a very familiar passage. Therefore,
if any man be in Christ,
he is
a new creation.
Old things
passed away.
Behold,
all things
have
become new.
Become new. Therefore, if it's a choice, if you want to experience the abundant life, it's a choice that you have to make.
Right.
Whether you yield to righteousness, not your own righteousness, not the way you see things, but the righteousness of God, because he has made you righteous, and now you are righteous because of him, that you have access to something new. Not the old things, but the things that you're setting your affections on, the things above. And now I'm so focused, when somebody comes to me with that nonsense, I'm not going to yield my members to them. When they bring me the bundle of clothes and shoes and purses and stuff, they done cut that wire up in the mall, you know they got some good purses chained up.
Yeah.
And I know some of y'all done got fooled with them bang purses. Some people don't do purses. They do the clutch. Or they put it in their phone. They got pockets in their phone.
Yep.
Y'all better hold on to them phone. Therefore,
got your credit card on it.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. People of God, you're not going to experience the abundant life if you're still doing old things.
Right.
Old things have been passed away because you have risen in Christ. You're brand new. And so now that you're brand new, you should be doing new things in Christ. You should no longer be doing the things that you used to do.
Yes, sir.
Right? So, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So it's one thing for you to live in Christ. It's another thing for Christ to live his life through you. Look at Colossians 1 and 27. We almost got it. And as a matter of fact, after this verse, Jay, you can put on submission. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In you. How do we live the abundant life? We have to be made the righteousness of God and to know that we are in him, to know that we are new creatures in him, to know that old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new, to set our affections on the things above and not on the things of the earth, not to yield our members to unrighteousness, but to righteousness, not our own righteousness, not the way we see things, but the way God sees things. He's already playing this thing out. And he wants us to live the abundant life because there's something after. Okay, we get saved, then what? There should be some things that should accompany your salvation.
Yes.
What do I get when I get saved? You start doing the word. You start living the word. You start acting the word. You should be a walking epistle. People should be able to see the Christ in you because you're hidden in him. They should no longer see the old you.
All right.
That old name that you had when you was in the street. Had dead and all that. Man, I wish somebody would call me had dead. Man, don't call me that. That was old stuff. Calling me had dead and all that kind of murder seek and all that. Man, I don't want to be called that nonsense. You know how people put labels on you, put names on you and stuff like that? Crip crazy and all that, night crawling and all that. Man, that's some nonsense. I don't want my name caught up in that. I'm a new creature. Old things have passed away. I'm not going to live no abundant life with that. Man, they kicked the dude off the team because he was called dope something. And the coach called him out and said, man, you can't be associated with this team, man, that's your nickname. Man, they kicked this man off. I don't know if it was lawful. Because he probably didn't care that because he kept on selling dope. We was in high school, this man was selling dope, selling weed and other stuff like that. Selling bodies and stuff. And they called him dope. He was a good football player, but they called him dope something. That was his name, and everybody called him. Even down on, hey, dope, I forget what his name, dope, see, whatever. Who wants somebody to be walking around being called a name like?
abundant life. How am I gonna get? Man, then you get somebody, you walk with somebody on the job. Man, that dope, what's his name? Yeah. Yeah. And they go to the supervisor, he ain't dope something. How he gonna live the abundant life? He gonna get the job. Because his nickname, because his name, because what he associated with. Old things that passed away, behold, all things are new. God wants to transform us. He wants us to live the abundant life. After he has given us life, then there's life after that. So he's saying, okay, I want to give you life that you may have access to heaven. So when I come back, you already ready. You already done punched your ticket. Your name won't be erased because you're walking and abiding in the things that I've called you to do. You're not yielding your members to unrighteousness, but you're yielding to righteousness. Peace, love, long suffering, joy, goodness. You know how to forgive. You know how to love people, because when you show people love, you introduce them to God. Because God is love. I want to live the abundant life, so God will open up doors for me. So when I make a request and a supplication to God, when I'm able to talk to him and say, God, this is what I need according to your will, then he'll grant it to me because I have been given access because of the way I live my life. Because I got my affection set on the things above. I'm not saying, okay, I'm not going to do that, God. I'm just going to do this right here. The Bible, you got to eat the whole what? You got to eat all of it. You either going to believe it, believe all of it, or you ain't going to believe none of it. It's some parts, picking parts out of it. Yeah. Then listen to people say, oh, you a Hebrew? Man, you a child of God. Oh, I'm Hebrew, I'm from the Israelite. Man, you get away from me with that nonsense, that separation. Yeah. That's racism. Yeah. If people start talking to you about being a black Hebrew and all that, that's racism. That's what that is. Don't yield your members to that nonsense where they start twisting up script. Tell them come over and talk to Pastor Tyrone.
Or Pastor Whitten.
Or Pastor Whitten. Let us break them off in these scriptures. Because we want you to be like the Bereans, to where you can search the scriptures so people won't confuse you when they come to you with that nonsense, spreading that separatism, spreading racism. If somebody teaching you to hate another race because of what something that happened in the past, that's wrong. God is not no respecter person. God made the human race. I'm a black Israelite going way back in my descendants and all that jazz. And they just quote these scriptures. See, look, we came over here on the boat. Man, who care? Who care? We care about love, unity, faith, getting to heaven. Not staying down here because we yield our members to unrighteousness because you hate a certain race of people. That's racism. Everybody that's white is not racist. Everybody that's Mexican is not racist. Everybody that's black is not racist. Now, you got black folks racist too. They don't like white people. That's nonsense. If somebody's putting that in your ear, don't yield to that nonsense. Interpret the scriptures as God gave you knowledge and wisdom and understanding and open up your eyes and enlighten you. That you'll know that God is for us. But just like in verse 13, in Romans 6 and 13, it says, verse 13, the believer has a choice. He may yield unto God by faith and enjoy the abundant life. Right? Or he may yield unto sin and defeat and endure a defeated life. God would have you to know that the power of a yielding life, it will lift you above circumstances. The abundant life begins when you yield to him as master, allowing him to live his life through you, by faith. I want to be healed. Because I know my righteousness ain't no good. But I've been made the righteousness of him through Christ. And now I understand what his righteousness is all about. And now I'm going to let him be the builder. I'm going to let him be the God of my life, of everything that I do. So now that I'm aware and I've been enlightened, when people come to me with that nonsense, I'm not yielding to that. Because if I go that way, I'm going to get into a wreck.
Yes.
See, people that come to a yield sign, when they don't stop and ongoing crap to come, it's going to mess them up. Some people didn't live through it. Some people came out of the wreck maimed.
Yeah.
Some people came out of the wreck brain dead. Some people came out of the wreck with a limb loss. But I'd rather come into the knowledge of Christ and to live in him and be hid in him, that I no longer could, that people can no longer see me. All these nicknames that people done gave us. And we live it up to it because we got to live up to a reputation. I want to live up to a reputation of the King. Because I want to live the abundant life. God bless you. I hope you enjoyed the word. Let us all stand.